Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Pack Podcast.
The thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hello, good evening, welcome. It is 9:30, but after a game like that, quote a man I saw in concert this weekend, you know we aren't going down till the sun comes up. The Green Bay Packers victorious 35-31 over the Dallas Cowboys. That makes this Victory Sunday. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf, and joined with me as always is our local and legendary upbeat lollipop, and he was in full force today, Jason Perrone. Jason, how do my shorts taste?
I said no, man. I said I wasn't going to do it. There is no short of a Super Bowl like a Patriots like Super Bowl victory. I'm not doing it. And you know I love you to death, but I just imagine after a game like that, and especially now, here we are biting our nails. You know the Yankees are clinging to a 1-0 lead in the eighth inning in their game as well. There's got to be just way too much going on down there, and I'll just leave it at that. I also have to say, before I turn it back over to our loyal listener, Ryan Koss, who loves to remind me to be more upbeat of a lollipop on Twitter during every game day. This is not a Victory Monday, Pulse of the Pack. It is a Victory Sunday, and I'll take that every day of the week and, of course, twice on
Sundays.
There you go.
All right, so Victory Sunday it is indeed. It's a quite the game they had today, if you missed it. If you did, I don't know what the hell you were watching, but it was the Packers and the Cowboys. It was in Dallas, Texas, where the Packers seem to have a ton of success now. After going, I believe the stat is they were 2-11 at Texas Stadium, and they are now 4-0 at Jerry World, including a playoff win, a Super Bowl victory, the largest comeback in franchise history, and then today. The Packers have had quite a bit of success in Dallas. It's weird to see that table turn because, Jason, you know, when you were my age, going to Dallas, I mean, you just marked that for a loss every single year because Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren and their merry bunch of men could never go down there and win a game. You know, no game more frustrating and upsetting than that 1995 NFC Championship game. And I saw something today that happened against the Cowboys that never happened at Texas Stadium. They actually called holding against the Cowboys. So the late Reggie White is smiling wherever it is that he is at. But Jason, these games always are really sweet. This one's got to feel good, doesn't it?
Well, they always do. I'll never forget those games in the 90s and those frustrations that I felt because those teams, those Packers teams with Brett Favre and all the stars on them were special. And all they had to do was get past Dallas, and you just had that sense of if they did, they were going to do something a lot more special beyond that. And unfortunately, that team only won one championship, and the year that they did it, they did not have to face the Dallas Cowboys. The Carolina Panthers took care of that for them. So it is always great to get a win in Dallas. Those fans, I tweeted, anytime something bad happens to their team or a flag gets thrown on the Cowboys, you can almost hear the dry heaving in the stands, which is hilarious as an opposing fan to listen to, because you just imagine Cowboys fans are kind of what maybe some opposing fan bases feel about the Packers. They're an elitist, entitled bunch, and they've got this eccentric owner in Jerry Jones and all the factors there. So you always like to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But more importantly, Jacob, obviously, from a technical standpoint, this was a huge road win. It was a big win for the Packers, obviously, to make a statement. You know, the Cowboys may not be the team that they were last year or have a defense that's anywhere near what they had before and be as formidable of an opponent. But this was a big one, and I think this win today will keep them out of Dallas and having to come back and test the waters again later this season if things continue the way that they're going.
Yeah, and games like this kind of build character, reveal character. What kind of team are you? Because, you know, the Packers, they have this reputation as a team that's front-running, and I don't mean that, I guess, in a negative tone, but they're a team that likes to play from ahead, and things appear to be more up in spirits and stuff like that. And the body language police always points out that they're loving it when they're winning and they look like crap when they're losing, which I say, well, you know, every team kind of looks that way. But today's game did not go to the normal script. You know, the Packers always defer to start the game, hoping to get a stop and then double dip at the end, you know, stop, score, double dip at the end of the half and the beginning of the second half and kind of play from ahead and play defense and offense and all that stuff with a lead. Today did not work that way. The Packers had a 3rd and 14 early in the game that Dak Prescott escapes the pressure and gets a big play down the field. He did that a lot throughout the day. Cowboys score a touchdown. And then the Packers answer with one of their own, but Mason Crosby misses the extra point. And that kind of sums up how the first half went in this particular game. Even when they did something good, something poor followed it very quickly. Mason Crosby actually missed 2 extra points in the first half, which is unheard of from him. He's, I believe, until today had never missed an extra point, even since they moved it back to a 33-yarder. I think they said that on the broadcast. I could be wrong. But, you know, the game didn't start that way. And then, you know, the end of the game goes the way that it goes, and we'll get to that. And the Packers, they never backed down. It was 21-6 at one point. It was 22-21, and then it was 31-28. And the Packers just kind of had a punch, a counter punch for every single punch that the Cowboys tried to throw at them. And let's just kind of dive into it here a little bit. Obviously, the game starts. I mentioned the opening drive for each team. And then the offense kind of gets rolling. Aaron Rodgers hits Devontae Adams to score a touchdown. And, Jason, there was definitely some talk throughout the week that, you know, the Packers will probably hold him out, you know, and all that kind of Twitter doctor stuff. And then even after it was announced that he cleared, everybody was like, oh, my God, he's going to play. And this is just a few, you know, not even a full 2 weeks after suffering a vicious hit from Danny Trevathan. And it looked like Adam – I mean – I'll never forget the image in my head of Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson like frantically trying to get trainers out on the field after Adams was hit like that. But he did play. He was cleared from the concussion protocol yesterday. And Devontae Adams, as you heard in our intro, he seems to save his best for the Cowboys. He makes a nice stretched out catch for the first touchdown. And he caught another one later that was pretty big too. But Jason, you know, you were kind of talking about this with some of our followers during the game. How did you feel – A, that Adams played, and B, did you think, were you one of those people that thought they would hold him out?
Well, I know that you and I talked about this too, and I think it came across like I thought that if Adams was healthy enough to play that they should hold him out. And really, my bigger concern or my bigger mindset with regards to the injury was I just didn't think he was going to get cleared because he still had not been cleared after Friday. And that leaves a walkthrough on Saturday for him to get medically cleared. And I also didn't realize that a player was allowed to practice before they are out of the concussion protocol. So I don't know if that was indeed the case or not. I know that if a player doesn't practice, he's not going to play in a game. So I just didn't think he would be cleared. I mean, if he's cleared and he's good to go, it's his decision. I mean, people don't typically, and fans don't typically, you know, let's be honest here, they want to see the Packers win. And they kind of take the approach of, listen, it's his life. If he wants to play and the doctor says he can play and the team's okay with it, then let him be out there. Obviously, today, it ended up being a very good decision. Adams looked great. He didn't look like he was suffering any ill effects from that hit a couple weeks ago. And he ended up being the difference in this game, literally. He caught the game-winning touchdown pass, and he was fantastic. Jordy Nelson was out of the game at the end with what I think was a strained oblique. I don't know if that was ever confirmed, but he did not come back in at the end, so Devontae Adams did not have Jordy Nelson drawing coverage away from him at a very key time of the game. So I was very happy that he played, and obviously he's fine to do so. It really, for me, the whole head injury thing, I mean, you know, I do care about these players as people. I've been a Packers fan for a long time, but this whole head thing is really kind of a, you know, when you see how it's affected some of these players and we've lost some players due to suicides, it's a big deal. So that's the reason why I think I kind of take the approach that I do, but you also have to remember too, and you made a good point yesterday when you and I were talking, the Packers doctors are very conservative. So if they're giving a guy the green light and he's out there, probably more than most other teams in the league, you can rest assured that it's a legitimate clearing of the player and that player is really truly okay to be out there.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to get at here was that the Packers, there was even a point in, if you guys remember Aaron Rodgers' broken collarbone, you know, he would get a scan and McCarthy would always use the phrase not medically cleared. And that would lead to people suggesting that Dr. McKenzie's ego was so big and he thought that the team was all about him and just ridiculous stuff like that. I say that to say if the Packers have a player on their team that's playing, it's because he was cleared by that doctor. And I know a lot of people have made Vic Ketchman into a joke, the guy who used to write for Packers.com, for those of you that don't know who that is, because he's deserved most of the criticism he gets to a point. But something he said that's always stuck with me is, you know, cleared players play. And if Devontae Adams was cleared, which clearly he was going to play. It's the same with, you know, some of the other guys. Mike Daniels didn't play when he wasn't cleared, did play when he was cleared. All those sorts of things. The Packers had cleared Devontae Adams, and I'm thankful that they, you know, he was able to play. And first of all, I'm thankful that he was okay, because when you see, there's just something jarring about being, I was at the Bears game, and there's something jarring about seeing a player taken off on a stretcher. Even though he gives the thumbs up and all that other stuff that they typically do, it's just good. You know, I've got, it's just good to see him playing, and then that he's okay and everything like that. So the Packers were able to get Devontae Adams on the field. He catches a touchdown, and then they're outscored 14-0 after that touchdown. Two more touchdown passes by Dak Prescott, one to Cole Beasley and one to my personal favorite player on the Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant. And I say that with complete sarcasm. And it's 21-6. And the Packers get the ball just before the half. And they go down the field and they're able to score a touchdown, and Crosby misses the extra point again, but it gives the Packers a chance to double dip. And a play in this game, I think, that's going to be overlooked is the Cowboys are getting one of those late drives against the Packers defense. It seems to happen in every single game that they play. And Nick Perry is able to get a strip sack when the Cowboys are knocking on the door of field goal range. Jason, how big of a play was that for him to knock the ball out and save those 3 points there at the end of the half?
Well, it ended up being really big because the Packers were getting the ball to start the second half. They'd already had a kicking mishap. You know, they left points on the field. It just seemed to be the type of game where every time they turned around, something wasn't going, you know, well. So, you know, that it's all about the momentum, and they needed to start out the second half with some mojo going on because they had such a rough time at, you know, after that first drive when they answered Dallas and then Crosby misses the PAT, you know, you just kind of had the sense of, okay, it's an uphill battle all day. It's a road game. This isn't the kind of game you want to get behind in early. Remember the playoff game last year, they were up 21-3, 21-7 And, you know, the Cowboys had to charge back. You know, you don't want to see them come back like that, but you definitely don't want to put yourself in a hole. And, you know, true to form, the Packers also, you know, Bryce went out early, he came back, and Kevin King went out with the concussion, he did not come back, and then you're having to play guys that aren't your preferred starters like Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins. You need something. You need something to go your way and just kind of fall your way. So, you know, I saw the defense step up and make plays like that one. Definitely kind of gave a little bit of hope going into the second half. And if you go back and you look at my Twitter timeline, you can see where things turn because, you know, I was vintage upbeat lollipop going into that point. And then, you know, when the Packers defense finally makes a play, finally gets a stop, then you're thinking to yourself, okay, it only takes one stop to give them the confidence that they can do it again. And obviously, you know, whether or not that resonated with the players, that ended up being the case. And, you know, both sides of the ball came through and Packers got a huge win. But I do definitely think that was a moment where you could say, you know, they stopped the bleeding a little bit and at least got things going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it turned the tide a little bit. It takes, you know, you're looking at 21-12, then that would make it, if they kicked a field goal, it would be 24-12. Dan Bailey's about as automatic as it gets. So you imagine if they get in field goal range, he's not going to miss. So big play from Nick Perry there. And I think that if you go back and look, if we were to watch tape on this, that Nick Perry, if he has two hands today, might have two or three splash play sacks. And he was still able to get the one. He actually swatted the ball out of Prescott's hand with his club, which is still one of my favorite things in the NFL. But a big play right there before the half. And that really leads to the story of this game, the offense, before obviously the last drive of the game, is Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, running back, kind of played out of necessity last week against the Chicago Bears because Montgomery broke his ribs. He did not play today. And then Jamal Williams hurt his knee. And after he hurts his knee, you know, Jones comes in the game and he doesn't light it up per se, but he's not awful. He's a serviceable player. He shows some good burst. And then today he's over 100 yards rushing. He has 20-yard rushes. He's gashing this Cowboys defense, which, you know, for good measure, before we start putting him in the Hall of Fame, they're not good as a defense either. Against the run, against the pass, it doesn't matter. They're not a good defensive team. But the Packers hadn't been running the ball against good, bad, or indifferent defensive teams, and Aaron Jones looks to be a player. This is a guy who did well in pass protection. He ran between the tackles. He ran around the edge. And he looked better today than Ty Montgomery has at any point. Now, I'm not suggesting that Ty Montgomery needs to be benched or go back to playing wide receiver or anything like that. But, Jason, don't you think at this point, even when Ty comes back, Jones has to be at minimum splitting carries, at maximum the starter, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And I don't totally put a ton of stock into whether a defense is good or bad. Listen, Aaron Jones is a rookie. He runs. I was talking with Jeremy Vanderlinden, formerly of Titletown Sound Off, and we were talking about Jones, and we had the exact same conversation. What do you do? Because you got to keep him involved. He ran well today. And, I mean, that Dallas front was getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're capable of crashing down and stopping the run, but Aaron Jones is just shifty and he's got really good vision. I mean, he's got what Jamal Williams does not have. And I, for the life of me, can't understand how Jamal Williams even ended up ahead of Aaron Jones on the depth chart. I don't know if this is just a case of Jones being a gamer, but I mean, he runs in such a way that he produces with his moves and his running style. You know, give some credit to the Packers offensive line as well. I mean, you had Lane Taylor kicked out at tackle again, covering for David Bakhtiari, and you had Justin McCray, who's the new young player out there at guard. And, you know, you got to give them a little bit of credit for paving the way and kind of moving guys aside. But Jones is a thing. I mean, he's definitely a thing. I don't think this was a flash. I don't, you know, I agree with you, Jacob. He's not a Hall of Famer. Obviously, he's just starting out. But in a big road game like this, to see a young guy perform that well, yeah, I just don't – running back is one of those positions where confidence means so much. I just don't see any way that he's not going to continue to do good things. I mean, you're going to be facing a really good Minnesota Vikings defense on the road this next week. So if he goes in there and he's able to do the same thing, and he had 19 carries, 125 yards on the ground, and he had one catch for 9 yards. So, I mean, that's a pretty productive day. If he's able to do the same thing in Minnesota against that defense, then I think we're having a different conversation, and it's a real quandary with regards to Jones and Montgomery, but it's a good problem to have. You know, but I think that it gives the Packers that reassurance that if Montgomery needs a little bit more time to heal up, I mean, he's got cracked ribs, broken ribs. So this might allow them to give Ty more of a rest than they would have. I mean, he could probably wear a flak jacket and get in there and play, but as a running back, you're getting hit every time you touch the ball. You know, if they're able to give him the full allotment of time to rest and they could get by with Jones and they can still win, that puts them in a great position when 88 comes back, because he's still too dynamic to keep off the field. But this is just, you know, they lost Lacy in the offseason. They drafted 3 rookie running backs. You kind of had a lot of questions about the Packers' run game. Would they be able to find production? And here we are less than half the way through, and I think they've already gotten more answers than questions remaining. So they're in great shape that way.
Definitely appears that way. And, yeah, like, I mean, like I've said, I've got no problem with, you know, even when the Packers' running game has been at its best is when they had – even when Amon Green was here, yeah, Green was the bell cow, but, you know, Najee Davenport, Tony Fisher – Najee Davenport has a great story, by the way. If you guys don't know that and want to look it up, feel free to. But that's a thought loop, and you can kind of see where my brain is kind of scattered at this point in the night. But the Packers running game is at its best when they have other guys. So having two guys, you know, there was a discussion after, I believe, the Bengals game, how many snaps Ty Montgomery was playing. And, you know, that may have led to his injury. It may not have. I don't know. I'm certainly not a doctor, and I can't do anything like that. But having another guy back there that you can trust that isn't – with all due respect, I really like Jamal Williams going into this draft. But it just feels like every time he touches the ball, it's 2 yards max, and that's about it. Maybe 4 if he falls forward and gets lucky that way. But the Packers, they found a player. And sometimes injuries are the ways that reveals players. That's how – that's how we found out Brett Favre was going to be Brett Favre. That's how they found a lot of other things. So sometimes maybe it's an injury and it creates necessity, and necessity creates action. So Aaron Jones was great today, to say the very least. Defensively, you mentioned Kevin King left the game with a concussion. He was set to shadow Dez Bryant. And that matchup did not get very far because King had a concussion. He showed he flashed a little bit as a tackler. That was nice on the first play of the game. He stuffed Zeke Elliott on a swing pass out of the backfield. So that was nice to see. But he didn't play much longer than that. Morgan Burnett left the game with an injury, did not return. Jordy Nelson left the game with an injury. It's never been confirmed what it was. He says he'll be okay. That remains to be seen. But the King injury really forced the Packers into a situation they didn't want to be in. You can see they've kind of given up on, moved on from, whatever you want to look at, whatever way you want to word it, from Quentin Rollins. Rollins came in the game, and it was like he was immediately targeted. It didn't go well. He was torched on that second touchdown by Cole Beasley. And Demaryius Randall made some nice plays. But Jason, I mean, with respect to these guys, because they're professional athletes, so I don't want to degrade them or anything like that. But isn't it sad or unfortunate or something like that it looks like right now the Packers' best options at cornerback are Devon House, who kind of is what he is. He's an above-average player when he's at his best. Kevin King, who's a rookie and learning the ropes. And then Josh Hawkins, who's a raw, undrafted rookie free agent. And I'll get to Demaryius Randall here in a minute. But those three, at least in my estimation, have been the best three players at this time. And how unfortunate is that, both now and going forward?
Well, it depends on how it ends up or how it turns out. You know, Devon House gave up, and I don't remember what the assignment was on that play, but on the first Cole Beasley touchdown, it was House trailing the play, and he didn't get there on time. And I don't think he's ever going to blow anyone away with his blazing speed, but he's a veteran presence out there, and I think that he's still can be valuable on this team, but we haven't seen him make very many noteworthy plays so far this year. Kevin King, anytime a player gets a concussion, like we just talked about with Devontae Adams, you know, fingers crossed that he's okay and that he'll be able to return, and he wants to return and can play as well as he seemed to be playing before that happened. And I think that he will. I mean, he didn't seem to, you know, got my bell rung. That wasn't the look that I got from him when they showed him on the sideline. So, you know, hopefully if he's got to miss time, it's minimal. But, you know, Josh Hawkins, you know, I think the thing you hope for there is, I think you're kind of hoping that, you know, maybe we're looking at another example like what we saw from Tremont Williams, not to compare him as a player, but Williams was an undrafted free agent, and after a couple seasons, he burst on the scene and became a very valuable and important starter for the defense for many years. And Hawkins, when he gets in there, just seems to make plays, and he seems to not be afraid to get in there and get around the ball and get a hand in there and disrupt some things. So, you know, if all of this, you know, use the term unfortunate, you know, and if all of this, you know, leads to – congratulations, Yankees win, by the way. If all of this leads to his overtaking House or, you know, Randall or whoever you want to call as the starting outside cornerback, then the Packers found a gem. You know, I think that they can be okay with those guys if they stay healthy, but it's getting a little bit thin. And you saw it today, they're one injury at corner away from Quentin Rollins having to play meaningful snaps in a role and in a place where he's not as effective. And that's just not, you know, to borrow a term from your winning Yankees manager tonight, it's Joe Girardi, it's not what you want. So, I mean, Rollins had a nice play on Dak Prescott later in the game where he kind of came in on a blitz and he got through and disrupted and got a hand up in there. And it led me to think that, you know, maybe he's better suited for more of a safety role, you know, and maybe they look at making that type of a switch, because I don't think that he's not valuable at all, but he was, you know, he was a training camp darling this year. I mean, he was front and center of everybody's reports on the defense and playing with the starting defense and starting on the outside. And it was like, okay, well, you know, quite a few of us over the last couple seasons thought, well, you know, Rollins is actually playing a little better than Randall. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe Rollins is going to be the man. But he looks more like the odd man out. So, you know, all I'd say about that is that, you know, hopefully King can come back, because I think Kevin King, and I'm glad to see that their first pick and a guy that they drafted to do exactly what King is doing when he's healthy, you know, he's able to do it. So we'll see how unfortunate it is. I have to hope not, because, you know, it looks like they've got a player as long as King can stay healthy. And yeah, now we got to move on and kind of talk a little bit about Demaryius Randall, because he had an interesting day today, you know, and fortunately part of that interesting day led to some points for the Packers. So, you know, I guess anytime you get that out of a cornerback, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. What a weird week week and a half, I guess, for Demaryius Randall. We haven't had – the Packers have played twice since we last spoke, Jason. They obviously won against the Bears. I didn't think there was much to cover there, just because it was expected. Mike Glennon sucks. The Bears are terrible. That's just how it is. But
the story that came out of that was Demaryius Randall being told by Mike McCarthy to get the hell out of here, essentially. He got beat for a touchdown by Kendall Wright and – then was benched and eventually sent to the locker room. Now, the Packers have said it's an internal issue. And by the way, well, you know what? I'll save that for parting shots. Never mind. So hold that thought. But Randall sent to the locker room, and, you know, now it's like some people even speculated he could be cut. And obviously that didn't happen. He's starting today at the slot corner position, and he wasn't great. I mean, there were some plays that were made against him, but the thing about Randall that always pulls you back in is his playmaking ability, and that really showed up. I mean, granted, it was a fortunate bounce, but some guys are, you know, in the right place at the right time, and that's what happened. Randall was in the right place at the right time. The Packers are trailing 24-21 at the time, and they need to stop, and Demaryius Randall gets a pick six. And that puts the Packers ahead for at least the time being. And it was a huge play in the game. The Packers needed a stop on defense. They hadn't had a lot of those to that point. And then they were able to, you know, get an interception, and he returned it for a touchdown. So he goes from nearly cut, benched, et cetera, to at that point, it was a go-ahead touchdown that could have been a game winner to a hero. You know, he's one of the guys that Jason, I imagine, in your game balls column is going to get a game ball tomorrow. It's an interesting track with Demaryius Randle because he makes some plays, like I said, that just make you scratch your head. But other plays he makes, he made another big play later in the game. The Cowboys had a free play, and Terrence Williams is down the sideline, and Demaryius Randle, granted, it doesn't really count because there was a five-yard penalty on the play, but he knocks the ball away. And it looked, you know, that's when I flashed. I remember there was a play when Randle was a rookie against the 49ers, and he made a similar play to that. And I thought, you know what, this kid might be a player. And he did the same thing today. And it kind of flashed me back to that, that particular game against the Niners that year. So good stuff from Randle. Jason, how did you feel in particular about, I mean, this is a guy, he's from Arizona State, so you have a connection to him through that, obviously. How did you feel about him being sent off the field and then kind of his redemption, if you will, today?
So I tweeted out during the Bears game and afterwards, as much as it pained me, I was done defending Demaryius Randle. You know, I am not a fan of head cases and attitudes that are not becoming of a good teammate. And this has nothing to do with Packer people or how the Packers operate. This is just me having played sports. This is me having coached youth sports, my own son, his teams, and having a deep appreciation for guys who do understand the team concept and put the team ahead of any of their personal gain. And Demaryius Randle just does not seem like somebody who's interested in doing that on an everyday basis. I think that he makes plays and he does things for the Packers, but I think at the front of his mind when he does something, I think he's more gloating on the personal gain and the personal accomplishment that he made. And a perfect example is today, after he scores, he flips the ball in a somewhat arrogant manner. Now, I say that not being oblivious to the fact that football is an emotional sport, and that was a big play. Put the Packers back up when they needed a huge play, and obviously that was one. He flips the ball, and it hits Dak Prescott, and then he draws a flag. So even when he does something really good and really amazing, you know, because I left my seat, and I'm running around yelling and screaming, and I'm happy for him because it's Demaryius Randle, and you want to see him just make a play like that. Maybe that'll spark his season, and he'll have a great season, and he'll turn it around from there. No, I don't know. The old Demaryius Randle doing what Demaryius Randle does, being arrogant, being cocky. You know, last year, I'll never forget, when I was at the Seattle game, this probably didn't make it on TV, but the Packers got off the field against the Seahawks, and there's Randle kind of standing there with his arms folded and just doing a little head bob and kind of taunting the Seahawks sideline after a big third down stop, and it wasn't necessary. It's not necessary. You know, when Randle gets sent away from the bench, he obviously did or said something that was not positive towards the Packers coaching staff, and it just leads you to wonder if he's coachable. You know, I mean, he's going to hold himself back with all these mental issues that he has because he thinks that he's so great, and I think he thinks that he's 10 times the player that he actually is on the field. So, you know, I mean, it's great he keeps making these plays. We want the Packers to benefit from it, but he's a head case until further notice. And it worries me that he's going to make a mistake or he's going to cost his team, you know, either with a penalty or with a gaffe like he made in the playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals when he kind of left Larry Fitzgerald and wasn't mindful of where he was supposed to be. So, I mean, he got in front of the media and kind of admitted, okay, I made a mistake. I was immature. He said the right thing. But I think that might have just been more good PR coaching by the Packers than Demaryius Randle's own words. I don't know what it's going to take. I hope the light bulb goes off for this kid. You know, he made a great play today. You said game ball for the interception. I actually didn't give him a game ball teaser, spoiler alert. And it was because of the penalty, and it was because of the fact that, you know, he's got a ways to go. And I get that a game ball should really be about people who made, you know, big plays in a big game. But like you said, he was right place, right time. The ball bounced off the receiver. It wasn't really a play that Randall actually made on the ball. I mean, he did seize the moment and did make it happen and got in the end zone. But I still worry about what's between Randall's ears. And I can't continue to defend him when you've got younger players and players that are coming in that have less experience than he is that are doing more, like Kevin King and Aaron Jones, for example. So that's kind of my take on Randall. I got my fingers crossed, but I have my doubts as to – whether or not he's got any more left to give or if he's peaked.
Yeah, I was going to let you bring it up first, but yeah, it was funny because he gets the pick six and then he stands there and then he does the X, which is the Dez Bryant thing, which is after he throws the ball at the quarterback he just intercepted. It's like only Demaryius Randall can make a great play and find a way to screw it up. Now, it didn't end up hurting the Packers because the field position didn't matter. Because the Cowboys got a holding penalty on the kickoff. So they ended up at the 25, which is where they would have been if it was a touchback anyways. But big play from Randall. Still a lot of questions in the secondary before they get settled. I mean, obviously you see Kevin King playing once he comes back from a concussion. We'll see when that is and see what happens from there. And it'll be a interesting story, I think, all season long. Because the Packers really – I mean, they really have been interchanging guys. Since the beginning here, it's almost like if you know, Demaryius Randall, you stunk last week, you got benched. Devon House, you rotate in and out of the lineup too. The only one that really seems to stay on the field when he's on the field is Kevin King, which I like that. I think it's a good idea because he needs to grow, and he's the one on this roster that has a chance to be a number one cornerback. The Packers need that, and we'll revisit more about that when the offseason hits because obviously there's a lot to be decided between now and then. The Packers then, after the interception, the Cowboys get the ball back, and they take 10 minutes off the clock. Classic Dallas Cowboys drive from a season ago. Zeke Elliott, who's been held in check all day, I thought I wasn't going to have to see that stupid spoon celebration thing that he does, but I did have to see it a couple more times before the end of the game. The Cowboys get a first down on a controversial call of sorts. I don't understand how reaching the ball out, you know, the first down marker is not like the goal line. He reached it out on his own. He pulled it back on his own. So I don't understand. It appeared the Packers had made a stop on a fourth down against the Cowboys. I mean, this is a remarkable ending if that's what happens because the Cowboys offensive line and, you know, the Packers defense isn't great. I think even at their best this year, they probably won't be great, but they make a huge stop against what is arguably the best running back in the league and the best offensive line consensus in the league. But instead, the play is reviewed, and it gives the Cowboys a first down. A couple plays later, Dak Prescott keeps on a read option. He scores a touchdown, and it's 31-28 with a minute and 13 seconds left to play. Now, Jason, this is an old segment, I suppose, but what were you thinking as Dak Prescott crossed the goal line?
Well, as you saw, I tweeted one word, which was ball game, which was the exact tweet that you used later on to suggest what I should have for dinner. So I, at that point, thought the game was over. And I was very frustrated because I had been lambasting Mike McCarthy for his predictable play calling throughout the day. And, you know, McCarthy's never going to blow us away with anything too fancy and risky. In the game, I mean, the riskiest play of the day was running Aaron Jones late in the game when obviously you've got Aaron Rodgers and the best idea and the best option is to put the ball in his hands every snap, and it paid off. That was a great play call by McCarthy, but it wasn't anything too exotic. So the play by Prescott and the Cowboys was a great call. Again, it was obviously scouted well against the Packers defense that was crashing down hard on Elliott. Ahmad Brooks completely bit on an Elliott run, and Dak Prescott just you know, ran into the end zone and scored what seemed like it would be the final winning, you know, the winning touchdown. So on that play with Elliott, though, you know, I was so busy getting ready to start writing game balls and kind of trying to keep up with my timeline that I didn't get a total explanation. I think Mike Pereira came on and explained the rule on that play. Now, I know in a goal line situation, what Elliott did there, had they been on the goal line, that's a touchdown. You know, so that's a score. But when it comes to converting a first down there, he reaches the ball over, and so you kind of assume forward progress. But, Jacob, did you get a better explanation on the official rule there in terms of was it a blown call because Elliott pulled the ball back, or was the mere fact that he did reach over and cross the line to gain enough for Dallas to get the first down, and so they did get it right?
I never got an explanation. I mean, the way that – I think Peter Bukowski was the one who said it best, and that was the NFL rules aren't designed to make sense, which is true in every sense there. So never got an explanation, and I don't fully understand. I don't think anybody – with all that happened after that, I don't know if it was even asked in the postgame to the officials on what that ruling was. But to me, I mean, it's different if a receiver is reaching out with the ball and he goes to the ground with the ball reached out. It makes sense. That's a first down. But Zeke put the ball out and then pulled it back so he wouldn't fumble. That, to me, is willing. He wasn't ruled down when he was reaching the ball out. So it didn't make sense to me. But thankfully, it didn't end up mattering. So that's not the biggest story of what we're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, that was pretty much that with regards to that drive there. You know, It only set up the inevitable, and I say the inevitable now, obviously, after the game is over. But I mean, honestly, here, you know, from Upbeat Lollipop himself, from my lips to, I wouldn't say to God's ears, but, you know, we've now seen twice inside of a calendar year what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do late in the game against the Cowboys. So, you know, now that I look back on it, I should have known all Dak Prescott did was wake a sleeping giant, which was clutch Aaron Rodgers. And the rest, as they say, was history.
That it was. And my thought, as soon as I looked at the clock and I said, too much time. At minimum, I felt they were going to get a field goal attempt to tie the game. Whether Mason made it or not, based on how the day was going, apparently was another story. But too much time. You mentioned the draw play. That was gutsy. They went to that well one too many times. The second one I thought was a little foolish. And one thing about – I'm not a Buck Aikman hater, I guess is the right word that the kids use these days to sound cool. But I don't – I actually have even gone on record before saying I think Joe Buck is the best football announcer in the business. And I still feel that way as far as play-by-play goes. Other than maybe Al Michaels. But I think that Buck is really good. I don't have a problem with him at all. And the protests and all that stuff that you guys are signing to get them to never do Packers games are a waste of time. Please find something better to do with your time. Hug your wife or something. I don't know. Pet your dog, whatever it is. But as that last drive is progressing, Buck and Aikman keep talking about a field goal. And like everybody in my living room is shouting, like, forget the field goal. Like, we're going to go win this thing right now. And it's a third down. And Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hands, and it's a pass play, and he rolls to his left as he's escaping pressure. He breaks one tackle, and he runs for a first down. And that, I mean, I know the throw that I'm going to talk about next is going to get the most recognition, obviously, but that run by Rodgers on that drive was phenomenal. Just a will and a desire and all those weird buzzwords that everybody talks about all the time. To get a first down in a big spot when his team needs it. Devontae Adams makes a couple catches before that Aaron Jones. That sets up this position for the play. It's first down following that, and Rodgers throws a back shoulder pass to Devontae Adams, and Jordan Lewis is in position and knocks the ball away. And apparently, according to Rodgers, Devontae went back to the huddle and said, run it again. Do the same thing. So the Packers went right back to the well. Time's running out. They're out of timeouts. And Rodgers zings the ball past Jordan Lewis's ear hole, and Devontae Adams catches it. It's a touchdown, and the Packers take the lead with 11 seconds left to play. And it was mass chaos and freak out in my living room. It was on full effect. I don't know if I've made this clear before, but there's a hierarchy in order of teams that I really don't like. And from the fan side of things of me, the wins when they beat these teams are a little bit sweeter for that reason. And the Vikings are the first one. The Bears are the second one. And then the Cowboys and the Seahawks are right there at third. I really don't like either one of those teams. So Devontae catches the ball. It's a great throw from Rodgers. It's a great catch, and it gives the Packers the lead before the last possession, where Demaryius Randall lets Cole Beasley behind him. I can't believe that play was nearly close to being a catch if Prescott doesn't overthrow him. And then there's a lateral play at the end of the game where Nick Perry nearly gives the ball away. He's lucky that Travis Frederick was the guy who stole the ball from him on the fumble, but then eventually the Packers fall on top of the ball, and they win the game. 35-31 final score. So, Jason, take us through. Well, did you keep watching? Because you're known to quit watching at times. But did you keep watching through the Adams catch and just kind of take us through your thoughts on that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I never turned the game off. I watched the whole thing. So the Adams catch was impressive because they went to the same play twice. Now, obviously, we don't hear what's said in the huddle. But, yeah, I mean, Adams said, let's run the same play again. And, you know, I mean, it's a crunch moment. It's kind of a, you know, I mean, if you don't throw the right ball and you don't get the right play from the receiver, you know, it could be a situation where the defensive back picks it off. I mean, you got a young secondary out there, and I think Adams is up against the rookie corner for Dallas. And so a little more film study, and you notice right away, okay, it's the same play coming back. I mean, you know, things could end up a lot worse for the Packers in that situation. But, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. And Devontae Adams had, you know, had himself a day. In fact, I'm looking for somebody out there to make a meme of The Undertaker doing his, you know, sit up in the ring after getting knocked down and then just, you know, Photoshop Devontae Adams' face on The Undertaker's body, because, you know, that's essentially – what happened. I mean, Devontae Adams was laying in a hospital bed 10 nights ago and was taken off the field, you know, not under his own power. And here he is catching two big touchdowns in a big road game. So never turned the game off. I mean, that was obviously a huge catch and a huge play, but you know, in my mind, and I'll always have the NFC Championship game, the in Seattle to thank for this. But if there is any time on the clock, I am watching and I'm standing. So I'm standing up and I've got my hands on my knees and I look like a base coach in baseball. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, this team's got enough playmakers. There's no way that these guys should get what they get. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got Dak, you got Zeke Elliott, you got Dez Bryant. Those are the three guys I'm the most worried about. I completely forgot about Cole Beasley. And, yeah, let's thank God that Dak Prescott overthrew Beasley, because I don't think that he gets past Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, but that definitely makes things a lot more interesting if Beasley catches that ball. The Nick Perry gaffe was very frustrating to see. Now, I know that he's got that club on his hand, but that wasn't the issue. You know, I thought at first maybe that was the issue. Well, he doesn't have his full grip, so he dropped the ball. No, he did drop the ball, but he did it on purpose because clearly he doesn't understand that by doing so, it's still a live ball and it's a fumble. So another spoiler alert, may see Nick Perry show up in my game balls and lame calls column, and I'm sure you can guess which side of the coin he's on for that particular play. But, you know, as much as we chastised Quentin Rollins earlier, he made the final play of the game, and it looked like he might have got hurt on that play too. I'm hoping he's okay. Just get it done. That's all you have to do. You know, that last play, of course, in true Packers fashion, you know, lasted way longer than it should have and went on much longer than it needed to. And on that subject, because we always talk about this all the time, about the Packers letting, you know, I tweeted this out. Here's another case of Packers letting insert name of aging veteran that can't do it anymore and letting him do it. Jason Witten had a resurrection game of his life in this particular game, and Dak Prescott obviously found him to be a security blanket, and And it was very frustrating to watch because Jason Witten is running about as fast as I can walk, and I'm talking about at a leisurely pace. So that was a little frustrating too. But fortunately, all these things become moot when the Packers finally win the game. The game is over, so you know now it's time to hand out our game awards and maybe take a peek ahead to next week and, again, just wipe our brows because the Packers got a big W today.
Yeah, quite the sports weekend for me. The Yankees just staved off elimination. I can't even talk. And then, obviously, yeah, the big Packers win over the Cowboys. Gets them to 4-1 going into next week against the Minnesota Vikings. They play tomorrow night against the Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky will be making his NFL debut. So that is something to look forward to if you guys are looking for something to watch as far as the NFL goes tomorrow night. But, yeah, great win. 35-31, Aaron Rodgers throws a dime. And I don't want to understate, you know, the effort that Devontae Adams had. Jason, you said it best. Jordy Nelson was not on the field for that final drive. And Devontae was best receiver on that series. You know, primary target. He was targeted three times. He had two catches, including a touchdown. So this is a guy who everybody and their mother wanted cut in favor of Jeff Janis. Well, not everybody. I wasn't in that group, and neither were you. But you get what I mean. Everybody wanted him cut in favor of Jeff Janis a couple years ago. And now he's the best receiver on his team, not named Jordy Nelson. And that's no slight to Devontae, certainly, because Jordy is a hell of a player, as we know. Let's go to awards here. Flatline moment of the game when I knew it was over. Well, when Rodgers hit Devontae Adams, I said, they're not scoring in 11 seconds. As long as they don't give up a kick return for a touchdown, it's not going to happen. So they had 11 seconds, and Devontae Adams catches the ball in the end zone. That's the flatline moment of the game for me. Jason, any objection on that?
No, that's the obvious and easy one. I, in true fashion and staying true to my upbeat lollipop self, am going to say the flatline moment of the game was when the clock read zero and the final whistle blew and everybody started coming onto the field to shake hands after the game. That was the flatline moment of the game for me because, like I said, with 11 seconds on the clock, and too many skilled players that the Packers had trouble corralling all day long. They're just, until it's over, it's not over. So that was my flatline moment of the game.
Okay, and then Ticket King of the game. We do this every week. Thank Ticket King, our sponsor. They're right down the street from the stadium. Grab your tickets, walk in, cheer on the Pack. I'll be doing the same thing on November the 6th when they take on the Detroit Lions. So let me know where your tailgate parties are at. I'll come say hello, shake hands. Probably don't want to take a picture with me in it unless you want your camera to break, but that's on you if that's something that you want to do. But the Ticket King of the game, I will give honorable mention to Aaron Jones because he's a rookie and today was a great day for him. But listen, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that has ever played this game, and he adds to his legacy today. And, you know, the narrative, which is garbage, it's clickbait and it's stuff from media trolls from Fox Sports One whose names rhyme with Malus and Plowherd, because I won't say their names on here. Those guys always say that, and Bob McGinn too for that matter, always say that he can't make comeback victories. He has two in the last three games. Made some great throws, made a play with his arm, play with his legs, and he keeps demonizing the Cowboys. I said after the game, you know, the Cowboys, they can meet Daddy now, and Daddy's Aaron Rodgers. He's the Ticket King of the game, and I don't think it's even all that close. That's my guy. Jason, who's yours?
Oh, you mean Bob McGinn, formerly of the Journal Sentinel Online, who's got his own little blog now that he's trying to charge money for, but can't get credentialed by the Packers. Is that the Bob McGinn we're talking about? What, you know, I had a very fun little interaction with one of his cronies who used to cover the Packers and who decided to try to tell me how I should feel about credentials and who should be getting credentials to the Packers and not. And so if you want to go back to my Twitter timeline from earlier this week, nice little interesting exchange between myself and some other people in the media world. But yeah, I mean, those guys can all just take a seat. I mean, you know, in situations like this and in this particular game, Jacob, I'll let you break your own rule. I know Ross Uglum said he broke his own rule by tweeting at, you know, a particular person's name. I'm trying to refrain from using that person's name, but I think the monkey's off the back now. The Packers have led enough comebacks and had enough big wins and come from behind, and you know, it happens to take place a lot against this particular Dallas Cowboys team in Dallas, which makes it all the sweeter. So no objection to your choice there, but I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. Actually, I kind of wanted to do a duel and do Aaron Jones because he had the game of his life and was fantastic, but in sticking with the theme of Aaron's for Ticket King of the Game, but I want to give an honorary game ball to Davante Adams for being on the field, being tough, playing it. You know, obviously he was cleared, so there was no question about whether or not he could play. He just had to decide to, and the team had to decide to let him. But a pretty courageous performance from a guy who, like I said, was carted off the field not even 2 weeks ago. So Aaron Jones, great day. Hopefully the Packers have found a player in him. And Davante Adams for two big touchdown catches will be the difference in this ballgame.
Yeah, it looks that way. And as for the rule that you mentioned, those of you that don't know it, it's if you mention, retweet, or favorite anything from Skip Bayless, Ross and I both have the same rule, and that is an automatic mute and unfollow. And depending on who you are and what kind of tweet it is, possibly being blocked as well. That's both of our discretion. And I also wanted to point out, the only reason I said that this week was because I just wanted to point out to every Cowboys fan that they share the same fan base with that clown. Because I felt it was necessary. So I will mute myself for breaking my own rule. So my apologies for that, guys. Next week, it's Packers-Vikings. We're going to have to amend this portion of it a little bit. The Vikings will be playing without Dalvin Cook, their electric rookie that his knee exploded. He's not going to play the rest of the season, and that sucks because I always hate seeing things like that. Sam Bradford appears is going to be back. They've played the last two games without him, and they will play the Chicago Bears, like I said, tomorrow night at Soldier Field with the debut of Mitchell Trubisky, the number two pick in the draft. I'm interested to see how that whole thing plays out because I really think that the Bears have a decent roster. Their quarterback play, as you saw Thursday night, is just a complete tire fire. And maybe if Trubisky is at least average, I think the Bears have a chance to win more games than some people seem to think that they should. But next week with the Vikings, my big thing is get your offensive line healthy because Lane Taylor against Everson Griffin and Daniel Hunter and all those guys that Mike Zimmer has, Lane Taylor's done yeoman's work as a left tackle the last two games. But I don't think that's going to cut it in Minnesota with that crowd and that noise and that defense. The Packers are going to need to be able to protect Aaron Rodgers. And in order to do that, you need David Bakhtiari back with Brian Bulaga. It's amazing to me. The Packers have had five different offensive line combinations in five games, and they've won four of those games. And that includes guards playing tackles, backup tackles playing guard, a guy who's a backup center played guard for a game. I mean, it's been phenomenal work that they've done. But that's their big thing is get healthy. As far as a prediction, I had the Packers, I had them winning this game at our beginning of the season show. So from what I've seen, I mean, some of it is going to depend on the injury situation, obviously, if Morgan Burnett can go, if Jordy Nelson can go, yada, yada, yada. But if they can, I can't see how you can pick against Green Bay at this point with the way that they're playing. I mean, I think they'll struggle a little bit. Diggs and Thielen have given them trouble in the past. But ultimately, Sam Bradford is a dink-and-dunk player, and I think eventually at some point he makes mistakes. The Vikings' offensive line is not as good as it once was, and we'll see if they have any semblance of a running game now that Dalvin Cook is down for the count. But I like Green Bay in this game. I think they beat the Vikings to get to 5-1 before they come back home and take on the New Orleans Saints. Jason, what's your big key and your prediction?
Well, this is one. You know, obviously we did our pregame, our preview show as we usually do, we always do before the season started, and I had the Packers losing today against the Dallas Cowboys in that prediction round. And then I also have them losing the following game, which is this upcoming week in Minnesota. So obviously things change and the scenario changes and that changes, you know, with injuries and with momentum and those types of things. So looking ahead to this one, you know, Dalvin Cook is out. That's going to be big for the Vikings in terms of their ability to, you know, kind of get at Green Bay. I think if Cook was playing, it would be a totally different story. Jordy Nelson will be a situation to monitor throughout the week. He looked like he was ready to come back in the game. and the Packers just did, they held him out. Now, you know, if Jordy Nelson can walk and he can play at all in a situation like the last play of the game like that, when you got a chance to go ahead and you're down, I don't see any reason or any way that Nelson's not on the field unless he physically cannot be. So you have to wonder how serious that injury is, what the injury is, and if he's going to be able to go next week. If he can't, you know, this is the Vikings defense, which is better than the Cowboys, and it's going to be a tough environment in at US Bank Stadium, you know, and this is Green Bay's, you know, as I like to call it, this is Green Bay's warm up for the big game that happens in early February, because that's exactly where the Super Bowl is going to be taking place. The preparations have already begun out here in Minneapolis. And so the fever pitch is starting, and how sweet would it be for the Packers to come in and lay a huge, huge beatdown on the Vikings and kind of give these Vikings fans a little bit of a scare that this team could possibly be back in the biggest game of the year in their own hometown. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to melt this entire city down if that happens. So I got to go with Green Bay. I don't know what the score is going to be exactly, but I got to go with Green Bay at this point right now, assuming Nelson plays. If he doesn't, you know, maybe I change my mind. It'll really depend on which Vikings team shows up against the Bears this week. And I'm not exactly sure what Minnesota should do. I mean, it almost seems like when Case Keenum plays well, you know, if he's capable of having the type of game like he did 2 weeks ago against the Buccaneers, you know, he might be a little bit more problematic for a team like Green Bay. Since Green Bay really seemed to figure out Sam Bradford, played well against him at Lambeau Field in the second game last year, and they knocked the Vikings' playoff chances away. So I'm going with the Packs over the Vikings until further notice. And so I guess this is me waffling and changing my pick once again.
I'm okay with that. I also like the warm-up idea because, yeah, there's a Super Bowl in Minnesota this year, and we're hoping to be there. So that'd be a fun one for sure. Parting shots, and I will be brief tonight. I get the honor this evening. I teased it a little bit earlier talking about Demaryius Randle, and I saw – after that, Mike McCarthy said this is an internal issue and we're going to deal with it as an internal issue, and that's all we're going to say about it. And then they asked him again on Monday, and he said the same thing. It's an internal issue, and it's been dealt with as to what exactly happened. And I see people, media types and wannabe media types for that matter, ripping McCarthy for not giving information. I understand that some of the secrets of injuries and all that stuff, acting like it's covert operation and, you know, no information can be given out whatsoever and be as vague as possible on those kinds of things. I understand where that can get a little tiresome. Listening to the same canned answers about injuries or, you know, he's played well or, you know, just stuff like that. I understand that. But if I were a player and I had remorse over what I had done to get thrown out of a game like Demaryius Randle did, I would appreciate wholeheartedly Mike McCarthy not putting me into the media and what I did, what I said, whatever. That's Mike McCarthy protecting his player. Now, you can argue whether or not Demaryius Randle deserved to be protected. That's certainly your right. But I don't see how anyone can think they're entitled to that information. That's really what it felt like, because they're like, McCarthy, you know, the fans demand an answer or something like that. Well, I hate to break this to you, but you're not entitled to one. McCarthy was protecting his player, and he was keeping stuff out of the media. Instead of, if he says, yeah, Demaryius Randle did this, this, and this, and that's why he got thrown out. Now, every single thing Randle does is going to be even under a bigger microscope. It already was going to be, but that only makes it even bigger. And every time that he doesn't make a play or something like that, the spotlight's only going to get larger and larger on him. I thought McCarthy did the right thing. I thought McCarthy did a good thing by keeping that information private. Tiresome at times, the Bill Belichick culture of answers. I understand where that's frustrating, but he did the right thing there. Jason, real quick, anything to add?
No, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. So just get your head on straight, make plays, win games, son.
That's right, make plays, win games. The Packers did win a game today against the Dallas Cowboys, 35-31. They play the Minnesota Vikings next week at US Bank Stadium. It will be a 12 o'clock game, the first noon game of the year, which was astonishing to me, but it's true. Thank you guys for listening to today's show. That will do it. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter. We are at Packer Pulse. You follow me personally. I am at Jacob Westendorf, and Jason is at Jason Perrone. Send us questions. Tell Jason to eat your shorts, whatever it is that you want to do. Throughout the course of the day, I felt like going full Bart Simpson today. For some reason, I thought that line was really funny today, so I said it several times. Packers-Vikings next week, as I mentioned. I want to thank our sponsor. If you want tickets to that game, it's not right down the street from the stadium, but they will send them to you. They will send them to you if you want to go to the Vikings game. If you want to go to a game at Lambeau Field, that is right down the street from the stadium. As I mentioned, I will be doing that for November the 6th. Thank you to those guys for sponsoring us. Our ticket kings of the game, mine, it's Aaron Rodgers. Jason's is Aaron Jones. So we have a plate full of Aarons this week. That's really bad, so I apologize for that. But thank you guys for listening in every week. Appreciate all of you. We'll see you next week, and go Pack, go.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket Kings. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.